Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our text, the gospel lesson, read a few moments ago. There's a story about a country preacher who announced that the following Sunday he was going to preach on the story of Noah and the ark. And he gave the scriptural reference for the congregation to read ahead of time. However, a couple of mischievous boys in the church noticed something interesting about the placement of the story of Noah in the Bible. And so they slipped into the church and they glued two pages of that large Bible in the pulpit together. And so on the following Sunday, the preacher got up to read his text. He was reading, of course, from the King James Version of the Bible. Noah took unto himself a wife, he began, and she was, and he paused for a moment as he turned the page to continue, she was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Willie paused. He scratched his head, turned the page back and read it silently, turned the page and read again. She was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. He still didn't realize the two pages of the Bible had been glued together. So finally he looked up at the congregation and said, "You know, I've been reading this old Bible for nigh on 50 years, but there are still some things that are hard to believe." Well, there are some things in the Bible that do make you scratch your head. A good example might be the narrative that we have today in Mark 3 concerning Jesus' uncertain relationship with his family. I mean, we read in verse 20, "Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat." Now listen to this, and remember, Mark is talking about Jesus. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." Now think about it. If you were a writer of a gospel, and you were trying to convince people that Jesus is the Messiah, why in the world would you include the notion that at the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus' own family had questions about his sanity? Well, Matthew and Luke, they don't mention this. However, the writer of the Gospel of John confesses, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." Now, saying that they didn't believe in him, that sounds a whole lot better than saying that they thought that he was out of his mind. But it's jarring to think that Jesus' own family was questioning whether he was out of his mind. So why would Mark include it? Well, there are some possibilities that come to mind. First of all, Mark mentions it because it really happened. I mean, there are many cynical people today who think that a lot of things in the Bible were made up by the writers of Scripture. And if that's the case, then those writers did a pretty poor job of it. I mean, if there was some kind of a conspiracy on the part of early Christian historians to say things about Christ that were not so, don't you think that they would have tried to reconcile their various stories? I mean, even an event that's as entirely critical to the gospel message as the story of Jesus' resurrection is told from several different points of view. I mean, don't you think that if they were trying to fabricate the story, that is the linchpin for all that's unique about the Christian faith. Don't you think that they would have ironed out the wrinkles, made the narrative flow seamlessly, so that no one would ever question its authenticity? Instead, that story is preserved in a jumble of eyewitness testimonies, and they agree only on the most important fact, and that is that Christ was certainly resurrected from the grave. But yet they give different accounts of how that truth was discovered. Let's face it, we live in a time of fake news and spin, perpetrated by slick communicators who make sure that they get their narrative straight and that they're in agreement with others who are spinning that same story. Sometimes you can flip from 3 to 4 different stations, and they and the commentators are using almost word for word the same thing to get their story across. But the fact is that the writers of the Old and New Testament were simple folk who simply reported what they had seen and what they had heard. They weren't trying to get the facts to fit their biases, but they were reporting on facts as they truly perceived them. So the first reason that Mark tells us about Jesus' problems with his family is that they really happened. I mean, after all, think about it. Jesus' teachings were hardly orthodox. And if he simply taught what the other rabbis were teaching, I mean, why would he bother to come into the world in the first place? See, even those who loved him thought that his teachings were a little extreme. In our text, we have Jesus' mother and brothers come looking for him. "Who are my mother and brothers?" he asked. And then he looked at those who were seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." I mean, can you imagine maybe that Jesus' family might have taken some of his teachings personally? I mean, how would you feel if you were in their place? I mean, all families have issues. There are no perfect families. But secondly, another reason that Mark may have mentioned the conflict between Jesus and his family maybe is to set the stage for what happened to his family in the aftermath of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. According to Mark 6:3 and Matthew 13, Jesus had 4 brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. He also had sisters, but we don't know their names or how many there were of them. We do not know what was the real source of their unhappiness with Jesus. But we do know that sometimes it's those who are the closest to us who have the greatest difficulty in seeing our worth. And that may also be true in your family. I mean, I wonder if Mary and Joseph ever told Jesus' siblings the story of Christmas, told them of the angel's visitation, or the wise men, or about the angels singing in the heavens. Perhaps they decided that it would only cause confusion in the minds of the other children. But in any case, the fact is that at this point, his siblings did not immediately embrace the idea that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one for whom Israel had been waiting for hundreds of years. But that makes it even more thrilling to read in Acts chapter 1 that on the day that Christ ascended to be with his Father, that the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. And those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. But now listen to the next verse, where it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Do you see, something had obviously happened in this family. Something that made them change their minds about his teaching. In fact, later on, we learn that these same brothers became quite important in the history of the early church. According to tradition, Jesus' brother James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem and the author of the book of James. His brother Jude is credited with writing the book by the same name in the New Testament, although that is a matter of controversy. But you think about it, what a wonderful turn of events. That the same family members who had earlier thought that he was out of his mind had become a part of the family of faith. Why? Because it really did all happen. Jesus' amazing but unorthodox ministry, the strife with his family, his crucifixion by the religious authorities, and most important, his resurrection from the grave. It all really happened. Those early Christian writers, they didn't try to get their stories straight. This wasn't fake news. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is risen from the grave. If you doubt it, ask any member of his family. Jesus is risen from the grave. And we give thanks that through the working of his Holy Spirit, through his word, that God has brought us to see, to know, to recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he's given us that wonderful joy of being a part of his family and of joining together with other members of his family and given the task to carry his word so that others may also come to know him as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.